Hi everyone, I'm Jason Scorse and welcome to another episode of Dispatch from the Zombie Apocalypse. I hope everybody is doing great. So last episode, I talked about the myths surrounding human culture, how it is often oppressive, undemocratic, and the main driver of much of our behavior, even though most people don't realize it. You know, you can think of culture like the invisible marionette strings dictating so much of human life, the stuff behind the scenes that we swim in that kind of nudges us and pushes us in certain directions. I then talked about the meat and dairy culture that gets people hooked on dead animals and is the source of so much animal suffering and environmental destruction around the world. Today, I want to step back and talk more broadly about what culture might look like if we engineered it based on two key principles, truth and the promotion of human well-being. And truth because culture should be based in things that are evidence-based, that are observable, that you don't have to, you know, use magical thinking to believe in, so that everyone can see it and understand it. And again, that there isn't any faith required. And the promotion of human well-being is kind of, sounds obvious, but so much of culture is not about that. So much of culture is actually created by powerful interests to promote their well-being at the expense of others. And so I want culture that promotes overall general well-being for all people and all non-humans. So that is, if we think about it, if we could start culture today from scratch, right? If we could just wipe the slate clean and start over, what would be the key elements of that culture that don't require faith or believing in fairy tales and that really actively promote health and well-being on this planet? And what basic conceptions about reality would help put humans on a pathway to living a more ethical and sustainable life? These are very heady and heavy topics, and of course, there is no way to start culture from scratch. I'm swimming in culture that I've absorbed and, you know, and been immersed in my whole life, so even my thoughts are influenced by culture. There's no way to start from scratch, but I still think it's a worthwhile exercise because we need to create new elements of human culture if we're going to survive as a species, and also if we're going to be worthy of our dominant position on the planet. So we need something new, right? And like I mentioned in the previous episode, culture is always evolving. It's not fixed. That's, again, one of the myths. At any point in time, it seems fixed, but over time, it changes. And so what I want to propose is that we actively try to change culture based on a few key principles. Currently, we are heading to, if not extinction, which is possible, at least to a great diminishment in the quality of life for most, and in the process creating mass suffering and destruction for all other forms of life. So the current trajectory, this current status quo, is perhaps extinction, and if not extinction, huge amounts of suffering for humans and non-humans, and the destruction of most of the ecosystems on the planet. So something we probably want to avoid. Only a religious fanatic aching for the end of the world would look at the current trajectory and think, yeah, this is good. Let's keep on this path. Any sane and rational person must accept that current human culture is producing lots of horrible outcomes with much more horror to come if we don't change. So thinking about the key elements of improved culture is a key step in envisioning a better world. And I want to say this is really what this second half of my life is going to be about. You know, it's one thing to think of all the bad things that we should stop and don't do and prevent, but we need to really pivot to, like, where do we want to go? Where are we going? What is the better vision? And people on the left and the progressive movement haven't done such a good job in that. So that's where I'm trying to focus my attention. We know all the bad shit in the world. Let's start thinking about what a good life would look like. And look, yes, we need to decarbonize our energy system to deal with climate change. And yes, we need to move beyond the animal industrial food system. But those two things are insufficient to the task. We need a new paradigm for human living that promotes cultural norms that are based in reality and can lay the foundation for more ethical human and non-human relations beyond any specific changes in technology or modes of production. So I'm talking real meta here, right? If the culture is the water that we swim in, we need to drain the pool and fill it with something new. I have three specific ideas I'd like to introduce today that I think should form the basis of a new and better human culture. These three concepts are universal and can be applied anywhere. They require no faith or belief in anything beyond the scope of human reason, and they're all based on evidence and information that is accessible to all. This is important because if humanity is ever going to truly thrive, we need cultural norms that are not place-dependent or based on specific faiths, right? We need universal culture. Now, you may wonder whether I'm really just not talking about culture, but something more like international human rights, which is different than culture. And while I applaud the concept of universal human rights, these are actually downstream from the level of human thought that I'm trying to discuss here today. I'm trying to search for the larger meta-narratives, the real high-level stuff about human and non-human existence that can inform something like the concept of human rights, but that are even broader. Because one of the key errors in human thinking has been to limit our basic understanding of existence to only human animals. And so I'm going to try to go broader, right? So we got to go broader than human rights. And this is bold. And it takes a much more expansive view of life on Earth, right? And I get that. And so what I'm proposing is ambitious. At the same time, as we need something more ambitious, we also need something more humble and cautious, because human arrogance and our sense of entitlement is at the root of so much suffering and injustice. So this is a delicate line to walk, and I realize that, right? Something very ambitious and big, but also that has humility at its core. So after the break, I'm going to lay out the three basic principles of this new kind of human meta-narrative, human culture that I envision. And I'm sure it is incomplete. I'm sure that many could improve upon it. I'm sure I'm not the only one that has ever come up with these, right? But at least I'm trying to put things together in an organized, you know, sensible manner and lay it out here to get us all thinking about what a world might look like where we aren't wedded to so much outdated and corrosive thinking. So I'll come back with those three key elements after the break. Okay, so the first key element of this kind of new and better cultural norms that I want to discuss is for us to build a culture where we accept uncertainty and mystery and admit that we don't know how the universe came into being and might never have all the answers as to where life came from and where it's going. We know a lot about the Big Bang and the formation of galaxies and the evolution of life on Earth. But the ultimate questions of where this all came from, we don't know, and we'll likely never know, right? How can we go to the absolute origin, the beginning? Because think about it, we'll always say, well, what came before that, right? I think, I might be wrong, but I think the human mind is limited in what it can understand, and the ultimate questions are in some ways unanswerable. It's incredible what we know already. I mean, that's the one thing about our species that I will say is incredible, right? That we know we can stare into telescopes and, you know, we have satellites and we can look at the beginnings of the universe billions of years ago. I mean, this is incredible. We can go at the cellular level and see the DNA, right? I mean, this is incredible what humans have been able to do, but it's still woefully incomplete. And the only really honest answer to where did this all come from is we don't know. That's the only honest answer, is we don't know. Anything else is hubris and based on believing something that we simply don't have evidence for. Now, of course, the overwhelming majority of humans claim to believe in God, and that's a conversation for another day, because I actually think most of them don't, or certainly their behavior is not consistent with what they say they believe. And they believe all these religious precepts, but most of them are not only contradictory internally, but they conflict with each other, which is one of the greatest sources of human conflict, right? Once you start believing in things without evidence, and they're just based on myth and fairy tale, and you think yours is the ultimate truth, if you have 100 different people with different ones and they all conflict, that's a lot of, you know, source of conflict. And look, I totally get it, that it is unrealistic to think that billions of people are simply going to abandon their religious cultural beliefs anytime soon. I wish it were so, but it's not going to happen. But an intermediary step would be for all of us to agree that while we believe in certain religious doctrines, honesty requires that we don't really know whether they're true or not. And again, most religious people probably aren't even willing to make that leap. But at least a certain percentage of them, you say, you know, you're a Buddhist, you're a Hindu, you're a Jew, you're a Christian. Are you 100% certain that everything in those books is true? Are you sure? You know it exactly? Most of them, or at least a good chunk, they'll probably say, okay, yeah, I can't be 100% sure, but I want to believe it. My faith tells me to believe it. Okay, that little crack there of doubt, that's a start. And injecting this little sliver of uncertainty into human culture would go a long way to turning down the heat on things and to increasing humility. There was a recent op-ed in the Washington Post about a philosophy major's commencement address in which she extols the virtues of doubt. I'll put it in the show notes because it's quite inspiring. And doubt and humility breed curiosity, and they foster questioning of established beliefs, which of course is one of the core prerequisites for human progress. Being certain, dogmatic, and fixed in one's ways often breeds intolerance and an oppressive status quo. Creating a culture of humility will also have the added benefit of helping humans to focus more on the present reality and less on creation fantasies or what's coming in the afterlife. One of the most damaging aspects of religion is its ability to get people to care less about the present world since they think they're going to have eternal life in the future. At best, this makes people today on planet Earth appear like things happening now are less important, and at worst, it makes people yearn for the apocalypse. That's certainly not good. So a culture of uncertainty will also breed more confident and secure humans, because much of human evil and misery is caused by people's insecurities, which is often rooted in our inability to accept doubt and mystery. A culture that says it's okay to not have all the answers will likely be a more relaxed and easygoing culture in which people put more primacy on getting things right in the here and now, since that's the only thing we can be sure of. The second new cultural element that I want to put out there relates to the non-human world. We need an ethic that respects all life and doesn't put humanity on the top of some grand hierarchy. This false dualism between humans and animals is the root cause of so much suffering in the world. Of course, many indigenous and pagan cultures have promoted an ethic like what I'm proposing, you know, for millennia. But with our new scientific understanding, we can take it to new levels. The reality is that all life on Earth is closely related, and mammals in particular are very, very close cousins. And when I mean close, like we share like 99% of our DNA with a lot of animals. And close to that of things that don't even seem at all similar to us. So the reality, the scientific fact-based reality, is that life is all comes from a common source and that we are all intimately related. And although humans are the most powerful species on the planet in terms of our ability to shape and dominate our environment, Other beings, from fungi to trees to bats to whales, have incredible abilities and powers that are awe-inspiring. They also have culture, communicate, have memory, and they have a strong will to live. Many of these creatures enjoy pleasure and pain, and while all life requires other life to survive, thereby necessitating the taking of life for humans to survive, a culture that respects all life would be much less brutal and much more sensitive about how it treats other living things. And this is a win-win, because a culture that respects all life and is in awe of all living things and treats them as kin is a culture of respect and awe and communion. Although semantics in this realm get tricky, there is something deeply spiritual about looking out at the world and not seeing humans on top of everything else, but being genuinely curious about all life forms and understanding that we are all part of one gigantic biological family. Developing an understanding and relationship with other life forms beyond humans greatly expands one's sense of self and one's connections with the world. This type of reverence doesn't require a belief in a god or creator, but simply to be in awe of creation, wherever it came from. And with further advances in science, we are only going to learn more and more about other life forms, and our amazement and connections can only grow. Scientists, for example, have recently discovered that plants make sounds that only certain animals can hear, and that they listen to these voices and make decisions based on them. I mean, how amazing is that? Insects and other animals listening to plants talk and making decisions, right? That is so cool. That's so awe-inspiring. And you don't need to believe in a god. You don't need to believe in any myths. It's just reality. Scientists are also working on methods by which we can communicate with other animals, including dogs and whales. Imagine what it will be like when humans can literally converse with other species, have a conversation with a whale. Right? What a richer and more incredible world that will be. But we need a new cultural ethic that goes along with it, based in reverence, respect, and kinship, and curiosity, not dominance and hierarchy. Finally, the third new cultural norm I want to help generate is one that accepts that much of life is based on luck and randomness, and that we are much less responsible for both the good and bad that happens to us. So much of American culture equates success with morality, that those who are rich and successful are somehow better people, and those at the lower ends of the ladder are somehow lesser people or morally deficient. This isn't confined only to America, but it has its highest expression here. The more we understand about human behavior, however, and human capacity, the more we know that this view is wrong. One's genes and environment do most of the work in shaping us and making us who we are, and we have little to no control over this. In addition, so many random acts can greatly influence the trajectory of one's life, from a traumatic childhood experience to the inspiration of a great teacher. In addition, the era in which one is born can reward certain traits more than others. For example, the tech oligarchs of today would probably not have been very successful or not nearly as successful if they had been born 50 years ago. They happen to enter their adulthood at a time when their unique skill set could be rewarded with such outsized wealth and power. A culture that accepts chance and luck play a much greater role in our lives would be one that is much less judgmental and also more forgiving and compassionate. It would likely be one where social safety nets are greater and where the worship of wealth and power is less intense. Both of these would go a long way to making healthier humans and a more equal and just society. Now look, the three kind of concepts I've laid out here, again, are quite ambitious, and like I mentioned earlier, definitely incomplete and could use work. But it's a start, right? I want to start thinking about what would form the basis of a better human culture. And I'll come back with the antidote after the break on how we can all play a role in moving us in that direction.
People choose to live.
So for the antidote today, I want to suggest that we all try to inject some of these three new cultural norms that I'm suggesting into everyday life and conversation. Obviously, if you have kids, that's a great way to start. So, you know, tell your kids that we don't know where life ultimately came from. And isn't that kind of cool? It's a great mystery, and every day we get more clues, right? Tell them that they can be a scientist when they grow up who tries to answer these questions. But maybe we'll never know. Maybe it's just a great mystery and we'll never know. But isn't that cool? Isn't it cool to live in a world where you don't know everything and where there's great mysteries that we can work on, right? It can be a sense of adventure. Of course, teach your children to respect all living things. And if they reflexively want to step on an ant or kill a spider, tell them, hey, don't do that. Explain to them that these creatures want to live too. And how would they like it if something bigger than them came along and stomped on them? Explain to them that hurting others is only ever justified in self-defense, whether it's a mosquito or a human. So yes, if a mosquito is trying to bite you, it's okay to quash it because you don't want to get bit. That's fine, right? And look, when you're out with your kids and you see a homeless person or people begging for money and food, tell them to imagine what might have happened to these people to be so down on their luck. Teach them compassion and to be grateful that they haven't had such bad breaks in their lives. For those who don't have children, there are plenty of opportunities to interject this type of awareness into conversations with friends and family. When someone makes a religious pronouncement, gently remind them that it's fine for them to believe what they believe, but in reality, there's no way to know, and no one really knows, and we should all be a little humble. Only when they're dead will they know if they end up in heaven, and so maybe it's good to focus on helping the people and animals that are right in front of them right now, regardless of what the future holds, because that's the only thing we know for sure. If someone you know says something derogatory about the poor or homeless, remind them that we have no idea what life circumstances made them end up that way, and it's best, again, to be humble when judging people. All of these things take courage and mindfulness, but if we're going to build a new human culture, it's going to be hard work. We're trying to undo those marionette strings and put new ones in their place that are better. It took thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years, to get where we're at now, but we don't have that much time to change course, so we're going to have to speed up the process. So humanity can and must do better, but it's up to us to create those cultural norms that will lead us in that direction. So with that, everybody, I hope you enjoy the rest of the week. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with family, friends, and colleagues. Rate it. Subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and Amazon Music. And with that, everybody, have a great rest of the week. Take care. Be safe.